to Constantia, singing. Published by Mrs. Shelley in Posthumous Poems, 1824. Thus to be lost and thus to sink and die, perchance were death indeed, Constantia, turn. In thy dark eyes a power like light does lie, even though the sounds which were thy voice which burn between thy lips are laid to sleep. Within thy breath and on thy hair like odour it is yet, and from thy touch like fire doth leap. Even while I write, my burning cheeks are wet. Alas, that the torn heart can bleed but not forget. A breathless awe, like the swift change, unseen but felt in youthful slumbers, wild, sweet, but uncommunicably strange, thou breathest now in fast ascending numbers. The cope of heaven seems rent and cloven by the enchantment of thy strain, and on my shoulders wings are woven to follow its sublime career beyond the mighty mountain moons that wane. Upon the verge of nature's utmost sphere, till the world's shadowy walls are past and disappear. Her voice is hovering o'er my soul, it lingers, overshadowing it with soft and lulling wings. The blood and life within those snowy fingers teach witchcraft to the instrumental strings. My brain is wild, my breath comes quick, the blood is listening in its frame, and thronging shadows fast and thick fall on my overflowing eyes. My heart is quivering like a flame, as morning dew that in the sunbeam dies. I am dissolved in these consuming ecstasies. I have no life, Constantia, now but thee. Whilst like the world's surrounding air, thy song flows on and fills all things with melody, now is thy voice a tempest swift and strong, on which, like one in trance, are borne. Secure o'er rocks and waves I sweep, rejoicing like a cloud of morn. Now 'tis the breath of summer's night, which, when the starry waters sleep, round western isles with incense blossoms bright, lingering suspends my soul in its voluptuous flight. And now alternative stanzas 1 and 2, as restored by Mr. C. D. Locock. Cease, cease, for such wild lessons madmen learn, thus to be lost and thus to sink and die. Perchance were death indeed, Constantia, turn. In thy dyke eyes a power like light doth lie, even though the sounds its voice that were between thy lips are laid to sleep. Within thy breath and on thy hair like odour it is lingering yet, and from thy touch like fair doth leap. Even while I write, my burning cheeks are wet. Alas, that the torn heart can bleed but not forget. A deep and breathless awe, like the swift change of dreams unseen, but felt in youthful slumbers, while sleep, yet incommunicably strange, thou breathest now in fast ascending numbers. To Constantia, dated 1817 by Mrs. Shelley, and printed by her in Poetical Works, 1839, first edition. A copy exists among the Shelley manuscripts at Bodleian. The rose that drinks the fountain dew in the pleasant air of noon grows pale and blue with altered hue in the gaze of the nightly moon. For the planet of frost, so cold and bright, makes it wane with her borrowed light. Such is my heart, roses are fair, and that at best a withered blossom, but thy false care did idly wear its withered leaves in a faithless bosom, and fed with love, like air and dew, its growth. Fragment to One Singing, dated 1817 by Mrs. Shelley and published in the Poetical Works, 1839, first edition. My spirit, like a charmed bark, doth swim upon the liquid waves of thy sweet singing, far, far away into the regions dim, of rapture as a boat, with swift sails winging, its way adown some many winding river, speeds through dark forests o'er the waters swinging. A Fragment to Music, published in Poetical Works, 1839, first edition, dated 1817 by Mrs. Shelley. Silver key of the fountain tears, where the spirit drinks till the brain is wild, softest grave of thousand fears, where their mother care, like a drowsy child, is laid asleep in flowers. Another Fragment to Music, published in Poetical Works, 1839, first edition, dated 1817 by Mrs. Shelley. No, music, thou art not the food of love, unless love feeds upon its own sweet self, till it becomes all music murmurs of. Mighty Eagle, supposed to be addressed to William Godwin, published in 1882, Poetical Works of PBS, by Mr. H. Buxton Foreman, who dated 1817. Mighty eagle, thou that soarest o'er the misty mountain forest, and amid the light of morning like a cloud of glory heist, and when night descends defiest the embattled tempest's warning. To the Lord Chancellor, published in part by Mrs. Shelley in Poetical Works, 1839, first edition without title, and in full second edition with title. Four transcripts in Mrs. Shelley's hand are extant. Two, Leigh Hunt's and Chancellor Cowden Clarke's, described by Foreman, and two, belonging to Mr. C. W. Frederickson of Brooklyn, described by Woodbury, Poetical Works, Centenary Edition 3, 193-6. One of the latter, here referred to as F.A., is corrected in Shelley's autograph. A much corrected draft in Shelley's hand is in the Harvard Manuscript Book. Thy country's curse is on thee, darkest crest, of that foul, knotted, many-headed worm, which rends our mother's bosom, priestly pest, masked resurrection of a buried form. Thy country's curse is on thee, justice sold, truth trampled, nature's landmarks overthrown, and heaps of fraud accumulated gold plead loud as thunder at destruction's throne. And whilst that sure slow angel which aye stands, watching the beck of mutability, delays to execute her high commands, and though a nation weeps, spares thine and thee. Oh, let a father's curse be on thy soul, and let a daughter's hope be on thy tomb. Be both on thy grey head a leaden cowl, to weigh thee down to thine approaching doom. I curse thee by a parent's outraged love, by hopes long cherished and too lately lost, by gentle feelings thou couldst never prove, by griefs which thy stern nature never crossed, by those infantile smiles of happy light, which were a fire within a stranger's hearth, quenched even when kindled in untimely night, hiding the promise of a lovely birth. By those unpracticed accents of young speech, which he who is a father thought to frame, to gentlest lure, as such the wisest teach, thou strike the lyre of mind, O grief and shame! By all the happy sea in children's growth, that underdeveloped flower of budding years, sweetness and sadness interwoven both, source of the sweetest hopes and saddest fears. By all the days under a hireling's care, of dull constraint and bitter heaviness, O wretched ye, if ever any were sadder than orphans, yet not fatherless. by the false cant, which on their innocent lips must hang like poison on an opening bloom, by the dark creeds which cover with eclipse their pathway from the cradle to the tomb. By thy most impious hell and its terror, by all the grief, the madness, and the guilt of thine impostures, which must be their error, their sand on which thy crumbling power is built. By thy complicity with lust and hate, thy thirst for tears, thy hunger after gold, the ready frauds which ever on thee wait, the servile arts in which thou hast grown old, by thy most killing sneer, and by thy smile, by all the arts and snares of the black den, and, for thou canst outweep the crocodile, by thy false tears, those millstones braining men. By all the hate which checks a father's love, by all the scorn which kills a father's care, by all the most impious hands which darest remove nature's high bounds, by thee and by despair. Yet the despair which bids a father groan and cry, my children are no longer mine, the blood within those veins may be mine own, but tyrant, their polluted souls are thine. I curse thee, though I hate thee not, O slave, if thou couldst quench the earth-consuming hell, of which thou art a demon on thy grave, this curse should be a blessing. Fare thee well.